Welcome to the Hump Day Podcast. My name is Pastor Kevin Robinson. It is April 5th, 2017. Now, I have the privilege of interviewing Daniel and Roxanne. Now, I usually don't interview couples because I'm usually worried about the fight and getting an argument or something happening. But this one, I want to take a risk. So welcome, Daniel. Welcome, Roxanne, to the podcast. And so the first thing I want to ask you, when did we first meet? Do you remember, Roxanne?
Yes, it was at Pacific Christian.
Okay, and you were a student.
I was a student, and you were the chaplain on Wednesday morning.
Do you remember what year that was?
90.
It was like 91, 92?
94.
Okay. Now, you remind me that I gave you issues, church issues.
Right.
And let's just throw it out here, like a typical pastor gave you pastor issues. What grade were you in when I gave you issues?
I must have been in 8th or 9th.
Okay, 8th and 9th grade. Now the story goes like how?
So you were also my Sunday school teacher on Sunday morning.
Okay, junior high.
Junior high group.
And I don't remember any of this.
And it was upstairs DYC, small
okay,
room, just
right.
A handful of us.
Okay.
And you would start sharing about what you were going.
My divorce.
Well, yeah, your divorce, what was happening, and you would start crying.
Did I really?
Yes.
You were crying in front of
you.
Isn't that terrible? I do not remember. And Roxanne told me this about 10 years ago.
Yeah, and it wasn't just one Sunday. It happened a couple of times.
So this must have been probably in 1990, between 92 and 93. Because
okay.
I was broken then. But I just was shocked when I was like crying a bunch of junior hires.
The worst.
That's just sad. And then, yeah, how old are you now?
Now?
Yeah.
I'm 37.
Okay, 37 years old. So that's a long time ago.
Right.
She remembers that.
I know, it's sad, isn't it? Hopefully nobody else remembers that. And Daniel, I had your brother in my youth group.
Yes.
Back in 92, 93.
No, this was like 89.
Oh, 89.
Yeah,
okay,
I remember him, you and him saving spots at the Rose Parade and spending like the week on the streets when they let you stay there.
Wow, that was in 1989.
Yeah, yeah. I remember him going out there and then coming back like 2 days later and then going back to sleep on the street to like hang out with you. And then you guys.
Good grief. That's
yeah.
A long time ago. So I've known you guys for a long time. And so let's talk about how you guys met. How did you guys meet?
Almaden Drive.
Almaden Drive?
Yeah, that is the street we both lived on when we were 5 years old.
Yeah.
So you guys knew each other when you were five?
Yep.
Well, yeah. Well, we lived like 2 houses from
yeah,
there. So
okay.
Our families knew each other.
Yeah, her older brother played with my older brother.
Okay.
And then we would see each other and we'd say hi and, you know, we'd play a little bit.
Okay, so 5 years old, good night. And
mm-hmm.
Were you friends at five, or you just knew?
I kind of vaguely knew each
okay.
other.
Just kind of knew.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when did you start to become friends?
Well, she moved away in like 1988. Whatever, she moved away,
okay.
And then she moved right next door to my grandma's.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
on Millen Way, down the street from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I knew his cousin. She became my friend, and I was over a lot.
Okay.
Go to birthday parties and.
There's
a lot of
picture.
There's a picture
wow.
of us. Yeah, I have a picture of us.
Like
my cousin blowing up the candles, and I'm standing on one side, and she's standing on the other. We're about 8 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah.
So when did you start dating?
Well, here's the thing. We separated. I was seeing her. I was playing on top of myself. She was seeing me. She'll wave.
Okay.
And then I never saw her again.
Did you wave because you felt sorry for him?
I did feel sorry for him. I
mean,
he's by himself.
Oh, really? Oh,
man,
oh
dear friends.
Okay. So
but it wasn't until high school.
Okay.
We bumped into each other again, but we're not dating.
Yeah, we're not dating. She knew no idea this girl. Yeah,
okay.
No idea this girl was.
Okay.
She would say, "Hey, Daniel," and I'm like, "Who are you?" And
okay.
I know your grandma, so I'll call her my stalker.
Oh, really?
I go, "You're my stalker? What is wrong with that?" Like, 11th grade is a senior girl talking to me. I'm like, "That's kind of cool." Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you date in high school at
no,
all?
No,
you
didn't
date in high school. So you didn't go to the same high school because you went to Pacific Christian, right?
But then I went to Franklin for my last,
oh, you did,
last
really?
2 years.
Okay.
So that's
when we saw each other.
So you got out of like called Pacific Christian High School.
I did. It was free.
So then
okay.
I found God like when I was like 20.
Okay, then tell me about that.
So I was going to a YMCA boys camp.
Okay.
My brother got me to become a counselor.
Okay.
And I was going from 18, I went at 19, and then at 20, I heard the gospel for the first time. Like, I really heard it.
Okay,
yeah.
At a camp.
Yeah, at a camp.
Okay.
Yeah, out, and those were the kids, and I accepted it. I was like, oh my gosh, I started crying.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was crying in front of my campers, and like, what's wrong? I go, I don't know, something's
okay,
wrong.
Okay, so you were the leader. You weren't.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I was a leader, and I got something out of the story. And I told the kids, you know, I'm living my life kind of weird, guys. I don't know what's wrong with me. I need to find a church.
Wow.
So then I told my mom I need to start up a church.
Okay.
My sister was going to Herman.
Okay.
She'd be going to Herman since she was like 7. So she would want to go to Herman Church.
Okay.
So my first Sunday there, I went, and her best friend,
which was
Esther?
Yeah, Esther.
Esther.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Esther. Pastor
was
going.
She was going. She saw me there. She remembered me from Franklin.
I met Esther in 8th grade.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
She's your age too.
Yeah, we're same.
Yeah,
I'm getting cool.
So she told her, and then she kind of came, and we saw each other like at a youth night. It was like a young adults
okay.
night. We saw each other, and I was like, "Hey, she's pretty cute. I remember her from Franklin." So I went up to her, and I was like, "Hey, would you like to like hang out sometime?" She said, "Okay." So we went on our first date like 2 weeks after that in 2000, and I remember what she wore. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's like so beautiful. She had like a flowery dress and then a flower on her hair.
Okay.
And I remember that. I was like, man.
So who has a stocking that would
me?
So Mary Rose, you
yeah,
have a stocking. You know, this is 17 years ago and you still remember how I actually looked. So then you guys started dating.
Yes.
Okay. So how long have you been dating till you go, this is not working out?
About a year.
Okay. Who got the epiphany first?
She did.
Okay. So what year was this?
2001.
Okay. So not only that we had 9/11 tragedy, you had a personal tragedy as well.
Yeah.
So now, you broke up with Daniel, right? Yes.
He actually broke up with me.
Well, did you really? Did you know it was coming?
No.
Because I did something.
She did something when I was very young. She kind of hung out with another guy.
Okay, that's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So you dated someone else when you were with Dan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I found out.
Okay. And that was devastating.
Extremely, yeah. That she was, I knew then that she was the love of my life.
Okay.
And I was never going to love anyone again.
Okay.
I was completely broken heart for over like 2-3 years.
Okay. Because I you know, I've gone through that before, but it wasn't the love of my life. It was hurt.
Yeah.
And so you were going through you were handling this very hard.
Extremely hard. Yeah.
In fact, usually people move on after a year.
Yeah.
But you didn't.
I didn't. Oh, so what happened was I was 21. The pastor at the time, kind of like, he was kind of just picking me out, you know, hey, come hang out with me so you don't have to be alone.
Who was that?
AJ.
Okay.
So we were hanging out at the time, and he was like, man, you know, I was working with kids at the time.
Okay.
And he told me, you know, why don't you get into ministry, like, start working with the youth. So
okay.
I started working with the youth and kind of got my mind off of it.
Okay.
So I was doing that for about three years.
Okay.
And then,
Did you feel called to the ministry then, or were you just supplementing?
I was supplementing, I was helping out, but then after, so what happened was, by 2004, AJ's wife,
Christina. Okay.
I was working at a summer camp at the time, and she pulled me aside, she said, I need to talk to you. I'm like, oh, what happened, like, what's wrong, what happened, what are the, you know,
like Christina.
And she was like, I need to tell you something before someone else, and I want to tell you something. I want to tell you first,
okay.
Just so you're gonna be, you know, you're gonna be okay. I'm
okay.
Like, what? Because she knew she was Roxanne's pregnant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So not only that, okay. So,
yeah.
So you're sitting there trying to turn this guy's heart apart. Okay. So not only that, you broke up with her, and then now that you found out through Christina.
Yeah.
That she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Now, was that like reliving the whole thing?
Oh, 100%. My heart kept going down again. And I was like, oh, it's completely over.
Completely over.
Well, like,
over?
I would never, like, I would,
oh,
there's,
never,
there's no chance. Chance. There's no chance whatsoever.
So, were you in contact with Roxanne?
Not whatsoever.
But he did write me a letter.
Yes.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Which I found.
Yeah, okay. So let me tell you the one. So then I found that she was pregnant. And I was still holding anger, but I needed to wish her well.
Okay.
And tell her I wanted to wish her well. So I sat down and I wrote her a handwritten letter.
Okay. Cause
I knew she liked letter.
Okay.
And I didn't know where she lived. I remember where she lived, so I actually did a stalker move and I drove to her house and got her address.
Okay.
And then I didn't know she lived there anymore, I knew nothing.
Okay.
And then I wrote the address and I mailed to her, not knowing if she'll ever get it 100%, nothing.
Okay. So did you get the letter?
I did get the letter.
Okay, so how many months pregnant were you when you wrote? Do you remember? 3 or 4 months?
You know what, I don't remember.
Yeah.
I might have been like already 8 or 9 months.
Okay, so
because,
you were
yeah.
just writing the letter and you got
yeah.
this letter.
Yeah.
So what did the letter logistically say?
Something to that effect, that I wish you well.
Okay.
I don't remember.
And then basically, did it mean anything to you?
I
probably not.
Threw it out.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome, right?
Okay. Okay. She was done with you.
I was done.
Okay,
you were done.
Yeah, she had her own problems.
So you're trying to figure this out. And so were you with your daughter's?
No,
oh, okay.
At that point, no.
So you guys just.
We had broken up when I was about 5 or 6 months pregnant.
Okay, 5 or 6 months. Did I ever meet him?
No.
Okay. I don't. Okay. It was just okay. So therefore, you were a single mother, raising a daughter now.
Mm-hmm.
And now, did you recommit your life with the Lord? Did you, in a sense, you go, I'm raising a daughter now, I need to get my life right with God? Or.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Basically, after I had her, the first year was really difficult. I did try to date again,
okay,
which turned out to be a huge, huge mistake. So,
mistake? Because you weren't ready, or just you weren't meeting someone?
Yeah, I wasn't ready.
Okay.
I was still struggling with my brokenness, and I was making
okay.
really poor choices.
Okay.
And
out of your brokenness.
Out of my brokenness. And
okay.
I remember the last guy I dated was super crazy.
Okay.
And I was tired of that pattern.
Right.
And so I said, I'm done with this.
Right.
This is not working. And that's when I definitely just started recommitting my life and just healing. You
okay.
know, that's what I wanted. I wanted to work on healing my brokenness.
Okay. So you went and got in a period of your life to say, you know what, I'm done. I'm done with this lifestyle. I'm done with these crazy guys. I'm just done. So you when you recommitted your life, did you start going back to Herman Church, or what did you do?
No, I was at Marina.
At my church?
Yeah, I was at Marina. I joined.
How long have you been coming to our church then?
A long time. 2000. It was right before I got
so
pregnant.
So you used, okay. Really that
yeah.
long? My goodness. So that was 2002. So you've been coming to Marina since
2002. But at that point, I was like, that's it. I'm going in this 100%. And
okay.
that's when I started a small group with Brooke and Sam.
Right.
And I didn't even know them. And I remember, and that was scary for me, too,
yeah.
to walk into their home. But I knew, I want healing.
Okay.
I'm going to go out and start, like, looking what, you know, where and how I go about finding this.
Right.
And that was one of the beginning
okay.
steps.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I've been at Marina so long, so I don't remember the whole story. So that was 2002. So we move up a couple more years, and then all of a sudden, how in the world did you guys get in touch with each other?
Well, we have to back up just a little bit. While she was at Marina, I was the youth pastor at
Herman Church.
Yes.
Okay.
So I became like the pretty much full-time volunteer youth pastor.
Okay. Now, let's elaborate that, because that was a painful
yes.
time of history for you.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, it was.
Well, yeah, don't
understand. I didn't want to say Herman Church, but I said Herman Church.
Well, I'll believe it.
No,
I have no idea how to believe it.
So I was the youth pastor there, and
okay.
I love the kids. I love the just hanging out
right.
and being part of their lives
yeah.
and seeing them grow up and going to camps and doing all kinds of stuff with them
right.
and just being Christ to them.
Right.
So I was. Missed a lot of things, but
okay. You were promised what?
First, I was promised housing.
The housing, okay. And they had one, two part, three,
yeah,
two, three parts.
Three parts,
right?
Yes. And
okay.
then someone moved into the one I was kind of
promise.
Kind of, you know, hey, you're going to get that one day. Never got
yeah,
it.
Never got
so
it.
So I was pretty excited about
and
that.
And then promised you you would be on the ordination track.
Yes, I was going to be on. I did. I went to the front of the board in 2005
okay.
or 6, and I was on the ordination track, and I took all the classes. I took the history of polity.
Okay.
I took the West of the
so
Island.
So you did the whole track. And
yeah.
then you went to a Life Bible College.
Yes, I went to and they told me you need to go to school. So I went to school. I was like, yeah, I got to go to school.
Yeah.
So I loved it.
So you're going to Life Bible College and you're getting yourself loans.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're getting yourself majorly in debt.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah,
okay.
yeah. For
with a promise, you're going to get paid sometime in the future
yeah.
and get some help.
So if something, so they're gonna, you know, they're gonna start, you know, a hiring process something. So
training.
Yeah,
okay.
It's 2009.
So how long were you there as a youth pastor?
From 2000, I started working as a youth volunteer in 2001.
Okay.
And then I became the youth. Like pastor in 2004.
2004.
2005
okay.
around there. And
right.
Till 2009.
2009.
Yes.
So you're looking at 8 years.
Yeah.
Eight
yeah.
years of volunteering time.
Yeah. And they were going to be a small stipend.
Just like, yeah. And I know what the stipend was.
Yeah.
So you're, it's more, it's less than small.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
yeah.
Nobody can live off
yeah,
that
yeah,
stuff.
For sure.
And so you gave 9 years of ministry to that church.
Mm-hmm.
With a thinking that, okay, I'm going to get ordained, I'm going to be on staff, and stuff like this, and
yeah.
kind of promised.
Yeah.
When did it all hit the fan?
I was going through a difficult time with my family, and I had just recently broken up with my ex.
Okay.
So I was going through a difficult time, and I did need a little bit of time off, so
okay.
they go, listen, we're going to give you a month off. Go ahead and, you know, just take a breather.
Okay.
You know, and I go, okay, that's totally fine. Well, the ministry's still going to be here when we come back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be here. It's going to be here. It'll be fine. So I was like, cool. So I took the month of December off.
Okay.
And in 2009, I went back in January. And then the pastor at the time, they came into some, a donation came into the church, a pretty sizable donation.
Okay.
And they told me, hey, you know, we got this donation. And they told me how much it was a pretty substantial one. I'm like, oh, wow, we're going to hire a couple of people. I'm like, in my head, I'm like,
right.
I'm going to get hired.
It.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to be a youth pastor full time.
Yeah, it's God answered prayer.
Yeah,
100%.
And I sat there, and that wasn't the case.
And they ended up hiring the pastor's wife.
Yes. Yes.
And that was it.
Oh, well, no. She asked if I would help.
Okay, so you could you keep that little minimal stipend of yours?
No,
okay.
No, I didn't get that either.
So they asked you to volunteer.
Yes, and
okay.
I did it for about 5 months, and
okay.
my heart was into it. I was pretty much doing all the work I was doing before, and someone else was getting
paid. But you were getting, and the thing is, and this is okay, you were getting resentful and bitter.
Mm-hmm. A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
sure.
after 9 years,
yeah.
and then all of a sudden, they give it to somebody else,
yeah.
and then you're doing the same work for absolutely nothing. Now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we found out that they didn't do the paperwork.
Yeah, they didn't do the paperwork for me to be ordained or anything like that.
To ordain. So
yeah,
you
yeah.
thought you were halfway to the ordination
yeah,
process.
Yeah, I wasn't
becoming
even
becoming a conference minister.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't even in the nothing. So in 2009, I stopped becoming the youth. I stopped doing the youth ministry work altogether.
Okay.
But I told myself, I'm not going to let this affect my faith. I'm still going to go there.
But you were done with ministry.
I was done with ministry.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
Now, how did you and I get back, not get back in touch? How did we start? When did you start going to our church?
Okay, so
I found him.
Yeah. So, okay, so
I brought him to you.
Yeah, so this happened.
Okay.
I'm
okay,
going to this July 4th.
Wait, hold on. I got to say something.
Okay.
In the middle of that, 2009, 2010, I was having a lot of dreams about him.
Okay.
Okay.
Like nightmares?
Yes. No. He was coming up in my dreams,
okay.
and I was like, God, what do you want? And I would just pray for him. I'm like, okay, he must be going through something.
Right.
And I would just pray for him. I'm like, okay, God, leave me alone.
Okay.
I don't want
right.
to get involved, but I'll pray for you.
Right.
But it kept happening. 2010,
okay.
2001. He would come up, and I'd pray for him. And I didn't know that all this was going on.
Okay.
He was going through this hard time. And I had no idea that God
really
wanted.
So,
okay.
So then, July 3rd, 2010. Yeah. So July 2nd, 2010. Herman's having this like July 4th barbecue at the he's a Christian.
Okay.
And I'm there. I'm just hanging out, getting food, hanging out. Not really feeling.
And that's also my father's birthday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I thought it would be funny to buy a Marina baseball shirt because he played for Herman.
Okay.
So I bought him a gift from Marina, Marina shirt.
Oh, you bought a Marina shirt.
A Marina shirt. I was going to go like, in your face, Herman. And like, I had this whole plan.
Okay.
So that's, I drive up. And
I drive up. So I'm leaving. I'm pulling away out of the driveway, about to turn the corner, and I turn my head. And I see her, I see Roxanne getting out of the car. And I went, hey, that's Roxanne.
Uh-huh.
And I see Ayla get out of the car. I was like, oh, dude, I've never really seen her
daughter. Oh, Ayla was daughter.
Five.
Didn't your gut just drop?
I was nervous.
Okay.
I was nervous. And then I honked and I went, hey. And she went, hey. And then she came to my door in my car and started talking. And then little Ayla had her hands peeking into the car. Who the heck is this guy? And then, and we talked to her. She goes, do you have like, let's email each other, Facebook or no? I was like, no, I don't. I go, no, I do. And I was like, yeah, let's, I'll look for you.
Are you so nervous?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
I was so nervous. So then I'll look you up. So I literally turned the corner, parked my car, I looked her up on my phone, I emailed her, like, right there, here's my number.
Okay.
So
this was at the PC camp.
Yeah.
So okay. I
So then, did you guys start dating then?
We
pretty
much. Yeah.
I called you that night.
We called you the night before. And then
the next
night. July 4th, and we talked for like 6 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
We like caught up.
Yeah,
so then you started coming to our church.
Middle 2010.
Okay, 2010.
Yeah.
Because I remember when we had conversations, and I have a gift of propheticness.
Yeah.
And I remember sharing with you about going back in the ministry.
Yeah.
And
I said, you're full of crap.
Yeah. You told the pastor he's full of crap. But
yeah.
She didn't use the word crap.
No, I
didn't. Okay, he was saying that.
Well, when I was dating him, that's all I asked. Like, so what,
yeah.
How are we going to get back into ministry? You know, where, you know, I would ask all these questions. He was like, I don't want to, I'm done. I don't want to get back. I just want to sit in the back.
Right. And you did. You did, because I think I backed off for a while.
Yeah. So we started dating again in 2010, and then, no, 2011. It was 2011. We started dating. It was July 2011. So, we started dating again, and then we were skipping. So one day I would go to one Sunday to go to Marina, the next Sunday I would go to Herman.
Right.
One Sunday, and then finally we're like, so what are we gonna do? I go, look, I'm not doing anything at Herman anymore. I'm just kind of going
right.
And just body there. I go, let's go to, I kind of know people there now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get to know people, so let's go to Marina full time. So we told Herman and they said a goodbye to me and you know, and I didn't tell anyone that day.
Right.
I met the pastor at the time, literally stood up and go, by the way, this is Daniel's last Sunday. And it was like the last 2 minutes of church. I go and say goodbye to him. And I
was, see, that was like my goodbye when
yeah.
I left him in church.
Yeah.
Somehow they spit out the pastor.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. And usually you go in there with dreams and you leave out there destroyed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a reputation in our church.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. And so and then in November of 2011, and this is like what, 5 months of us dating.
Yeah.
I knew that was I knew she was in my life. I knew that she was the love of my life.
Okay.
And I bought a ring.
Okay.
And then I asked Frank, her father, for a random marriage, and I was like, you know, would you? And I was crying when I told him, like it was at the church.
Do you cry a lot?
Back then I didn't know it was hard.
Well, I thought
I
cried in front of eighth grade.
Yeah.
And
so then
too.
In November, I asked
yeah.
her to marry me, and it was I had Ava there. She was
right
over two.
Okay.
You know, I'm kind of marrying both of them.
And how old was Ava then?
She was five.
She was five.
She was
between five and seven.
Yeah, somewhere around that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now this is where I think. You know, you guys were working on your individual healing, but now you guys are brought together in a sense. Now, it's not this fairy tale, you know, where you're running towards each other in slow motion.
It's pretty close.
Because all of a sudden, these mistrust issues on both sides started coming up because you were focusing on the past.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that, how that affected the relationship both of you guys.
There was definitely a lot of trust issues.
Okay. On both sides?
Yeah, there was a lot of trust issues. There was a lot of just like we had to forgive each other of our past.
Okay.
And then we had to forgive her for getting pregnant. I had to forgive her for doing
but
that.
But you weren't even together.
No, we were together, but I still had to.
But you were holding that against her.
Because I wanted, in 2001, I wanted this perfect Christian, we're going to be each other's first, and we're going to do all,
okay.
I'm going to get pregnant, we're going to have this 2.7
okay.
kids,
okay.
and a dog, and all kinds.
Right.
And I'm going to be the pastor with a tie, and she's going to be my wife, and you know,
okay.
all that stuff.
Wow, and, you got high expectations.
I did.
Okay. I, you know, I had those too.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't work.
No, I didn't.
Actually, I did get married. It just ended.
Yeah, yeah.
No, for people that listen to the podcast, because it seems like I'm very knowledgeable on the Herman Church, is I was on staff there from 1989 to 1999, and I went through a divorce, and basically, it was brutal. It was really brutal, and the emotional support that you need at that time, just you don't get. For some reason, different people, but just somehow it's the same cycle.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to say that for the people who listen to the podcast. So you, Roxanne, you had to learn to forgive as well too.
Right. Yeah.
What were you holding on against?
Against him. Well, I think I still. He actually doesn't really hold.
No, elaborate on that.
Yeah.
You said I still.
Because he doesn't really hold it against me. He holds it against Ava.
Okay.
There's a lot of resentment and anger that's aimed towards her, which makes our whole dynamic very difficult.
Okay.
And then I get angry at him.
Okay.
And so that's something we're still working on.
Okay. So because she was pregnant, you forgave her, but somehow
it's
resentment towards
just recently, it kind of was brought to my attention that, yeah, that I'm seeing that I see my daughter as, like, our
broken
dreams. Yeah, my broken, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and it sucks, I've been kind of working with that.
Right. So Roxanne kind of pointed that out to you.
Roxanne did, and a couple other people in our circle of friends.
Oh, really? So it was like,
well, it was
like. Did you accept it? Were they right, or did Roxanne say, this and you go, yeah, no, I'm not, but you got two other people that said the same thing.
Yeah,
okay.
It's kind of, yeah.
That's
yeah.
exactly what
yeah,
happened.
Yeah, yeah.
I brought it up, and he was like, no, and then that's when I had to ask other people
to
come
right.
in
and talk to me.
And to talk to us.
My wife does the same thing. She goes, I can say something to you and you won't listen, but someone will say
the same thing.
Oh
my
and
God.
And then they go, oh,
yes.
Oh,
you
she goes, why do you do that? I go, I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, our issues are not deep as your issues, but it's just it's an ego thing. It's
yeah.
totally pride.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because you asked me to do your premarital counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that was probably, I've been in ministry for 33 years. That is probably the most craziest premarital counseling I've ever been part of. And you have the record of the loudest scream fest
yeah.
in
yeah.
premarital counseling. Do you
yeah.
remember that?
Oh, how can I forget? I told her, I said, you really want to talk about this? I don't want to bring anything up.
Yeah, because you were kind of protecting Roxanne in a way you didn't want to talk about, but
yeah.
you had the resentment.
Yeah.
Roxanne, which I just admire, she just throws her stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
There's no secrets with Roxanne. She'll just tell it like it is
yeah.
and stuff like that. Why do you do that? Why don't you project a persona that you have your life together?
Well, it happened in my healing process that the first time I was able to verbalize something that was so, I guess, like a secret or my weakness, the
right.
first time I was able to do that in a group where I felt safe.
Right. And that's a key thing, safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the healing I received
okay.
and the grace I received, that's when I knew this is how you get healing.
Right.
When you're able to be open and just say, hey, this is part of my hurt, my brokenness.
Right.
This is I'm sick inside. Like
right.
this is what happened, and just verbalizing it. And
yeah.
so I had that history. And so going into premarital counseling with you, I knew that I
yeah.
wanted to be real, authentic, and I wanted you to know everything that
right.
we were dealing with. Like I wanted.
Because it was like Daniel was going, okay, what do we need to do to get over this?
Yeah.
And then I think the first session, you just threw everything out there and
yeah.
said, he feels this about me, he feels this about me, and stuff like that. And I go, oh, wow. And then what's amazing about this, you guys screamed at each other. You have no problems sharing how you really feel.
Yeah.
And but yet you guys stuck together, which is funny to me. Because deep down I didn't say this. I thought, there's no way in the world this is gonna work. This is nuts. This is crazy.
I think that's
So anyway, you worked through that, and when I had the privilege of doing your wedding.
Yes.
And which this is what I don't understand. Why couples decide to get married outdoors in the summer when it's 115 degrees. But you guys, and you know, churches nowadays are air conditioned. So it's really fascinating to me. But you guys decided to get married where? So it was Pasadena,
so it was Castle Green.
Castle Green.
Yes.
And so do you remember when you were married?
This is what I remember. standing at the altar with you.
Okay.
Seeing as I come down, it's like, I almost lost all this.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, so I was like almost in tears, but I was like, I almost lost all this. I'm so grateful to God that she's walking down the aisle right now.
Okay.
I could have easily messed all this up and just like a bit. I would have saw this date every day and now married the woman of my dreams.
This was like total.
Yeah.
I mean, turnaround.
Yeah, 100%. I was like, man, this is.
And stuff like that.
This is crazy. And I was like, when I saw it, I got choked up. Like, don't cry. And I like held it in,
right.
But I didn't cry. And then I was like,
what a man.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, so when you were married, the issues, just because you get married, probably the issues aren't over.
Nope.
And in fact, you guys continue to need to work out these issues. And one thing I admire about Roxanne is she is determined, because you have a fight in you. You have a fight in you that instead of fighting at Daniel and trying to win, you're fighting for the marriage and the family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a big difference because I seldom see that.
Yeah.
Tell us about that fight in you, and why is it so strong?
Yeah. Well, I see the potential in us.
Okay.
And I feel like he doesn't really see it often. And so, I guess just what I've gone through and the process that I'm in, I want the same for him.
Right.
And I can see that together, if we stay together and work together and, you know, continue to heal and forgive one another, that we have a lot to offer others that are going through whatever their brokenness or whatever, you know, we can use that and minister to others, to other families and other people that are going through similar situations. So that's why I continue. I'm going to do it for my family, for my kids, and for Daniel, because I do see
you definitely have a love for Daniel.
I do.
You definitely have a passion for him. And it's interesting, because every time you talk to Daniel about I can see you in ministry, or go Pastor Herman Church, which both, when she said that, and our histories of the Herman Church, it was a very colorful language about going back to Herman Church. And I kind of agreed with her. But you want to see Daniel in the ministry.
I do.
Why?
Because I just experienced so much that I know I need to give it back.
Right. So you're like the poster child of, I've done this mistake and this mistake, but my mistakes have become wisdom.
Yes. Absolutely.
And my mistakes have not identified who I am.
Right.
But my identity is in Christ. That's what I've seen in you. And so I think Daniel is getting to the point that he's starting to believe that as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think when I went to Marina, there was a lot of healing there.
Right.
As far as ministry goes and my marriage.
Right.
Because I didn't know it at the time, but I was hurt, and she saw it.
Right.
I didn't see it. I was like, it was just like, she would ask me about ministry, and I was very cold, but I did that. Oh yeah, it was very two answer questions.
Right.
It didn't hit me until Pastor Marissa, she was getting her CMC.
Right.
And then you were like, you know, you brought her up to the front of the church.
Okay.
And then I'm looking at there, and then she goes, you know, she still needs to take this class, she still needs to, but we're gonna hire her full time. She's getting the parsonage. And I thought about it, I'm like, that's when I realized, wow, Herman really screwed me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have everything she has and more.
Right.
And And I go, oh my gosh. And I started crying in church. And I told him, let's go, let's leave. And I was driving and I was just tears.
Okay. Do you remember that one time?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in tears. I was like, oh my gosh.
Now, was it tears of sorrow or resentment? What kind of tears were they?
I was pissed.
Angry.
Angry, yeah, yeah.
You gotta be faster.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
say pissed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not even you say.
I was sad. I was real.
I think it was the first time that it actually like affected him, because he would tell a story and
okay.
then it was just a story and he would go on like, yeah, that's what
Do
happened.
You think it was that all of a sudden these things were surfacing
yes.
and God was saying, I need you to deal with this?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
And so so now let's move forward, Jared. How's the marriage going now?
It's going good. You know, we have our little bumps in the roads and we're still
yeah,
dealing with a lot of things.
Yeah, we're still with the Ava,
that's
our
main.
That's
our
main.
But
mm-hmm.
as far as what was in our marriage counseling, you mean that? Thank God, that's.
I mean, thank God we had that marriage counseling because oh, we'll be celebrating 5 years in May.
5 years,
yeah.
And remember you told me a few, I think a year ago about your habit of fighting and screaming.
Yeah.
What did you tell me?
I told you that we haven't fought in a year. Is that wrong? Is it wrong with this?
No, it's something that I don't think it's wrong at all.
Because she wanted to start fights, and I'm like, I mean, I just like, I'm not that sure. Like, trying to make up fights because we weren't fighting about anything.
Now, after I invested in you and our church in 2001 or two, and you were a part of Marine mm-hmm. Church and Healing, and I invested in Daniel for his healing as well, and really had this prophetic word. And I go, and I did the premarital counseling, and did the wedding and the CMC and all the ordination. Here's the big thanks I get. We want to leave the church, right? After
thanks,
we're healed. We're not leaving our church. So tell me, what in the world were you thinking?
Well,
it was your three services.
Yeah, three. Well, you got me back into ministry.
Right.
I was going. I got my. Everybody talked about that. My LMC was never to by Herman.
No.
So they had no idea who
I was. LMC. So speed it up.
Yeah, yeah.
You became an LMC.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
I mentored again.
Yeah.
Then you became a pastor.
Yeah.
So in a few years, whenever you're ready,
yeah,
I'll be just go and you'll be ready for elders.
Yes.
Okay.
So we were driving 50 miles to Marina and 50 miles back.
Because you live in Monrovia.
We live in Duarte,
which is farther out.
Yeah, farther out.
Okay.
So we were getting up at 8 in the morning and getting home at 2.
Okay.
And
that's my
like,
life, Dan. We went about
it. Yeah, but you walked.
Okay. So it was getting long.
It was getting
the
long.
The days got
long.
And Roxanne really took the initiative on
mm-hmm.
that one.
Yeah, she felt
What did
good.
You say?
Well, For me, it was the distance, but also it was the lack of connection. It was,
right.
you know, between the Sundays, it was really difficult
right.
to connect. So I was really hungry for a community, a church
right.
community. And so that was what was pulling me, especially with having Ian. And
right.
I really was.
Ian is, you know, we didn't talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, it
was
yeah, Ian
okay.
Cash.
So that was my desire.
Ian Cash?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Johnny Cash?
Yeah, Johnny Cash.
Okay. All right, sorry.
So yeah, so that I had been putting his ear for like a year.
Thank
Let's
you
go
for
check.
Okay.
And yeah, he didn't want. He was a little hesitant about.
Well, you're a loyalist.
Yeah.
That's what you are. You're definitely a loyalist.
Yeah.
And I think Roxanne's a realist. And basically, it's a good combination for
mm-hmm.
both of you. So then you decided to look for other churches.
Yes, I started playing softball with a group called Rose City Softball.
Okay, Rose City Softball.
And they were connected to Rose City Church.
Okay.
And I didn't know who they were because my father-in-law asked me to play because they needed players,
okay.
and I said fine.
You didn't know.
I had no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I started and I met Dan. I knew him as Dan, not as Pastor Dan.
All right.
Yeah. So I had no idea who he was. I didn't know who he was.
Dan's
Yeah.
No, he ain't no faster when he's playing.
Oh no. So he, my second or third season on the team, about a year, almost a year and a half.
Yeah.
I told him, I was like, after I talked to you,
right.
I told him, I was like, yeah, I'm thinking of, we're thinking of coming over to Rose City. He goes, yes, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
And then his wife, Sam was like, you know, I've been praying that you guys would come.
Right. Now, which is interesting because Rose City is like our daughter church or sister church. Because I used to be the pastor of this church as well. And I appointed, Dan was on staff with me. And then we appointed him to be the senior pastor of this church. And that was 5 years ago. And so the church, Rose City Church, is doing great. And so I was like excited in a way that you guys moved over to Rose City Church. So you decided to come to Rose, but you had reservations about Rose City Church. Because it was all white.
Well,
it's an all white church. And you, and Marina is a very diversified church. And I had a concern about that too. Because I'm just very protective over both of you. But you decided, you went to a small group, I think, at first. Dan kind of said, what?
It was kind of interesting because we, it was with you. I think that's when we kind of first, like, really opened up that one time.
Oh, at the restaurant.
At the one, at Dan's house when we met for
the staff meeting
and opened up.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the first, one of the first times I really talked to a lot of people.
Right.
And I told them.
We were only here maybe a few weeks.
Was nuts. Yeah. So then you kind of, you kept on picking on me. And I was like, oh, does he want me to talk about our story? And
yeah.
I kind of said like something, I forgot, it was like something real profound. And everyone kind of looked at me like, whoa, and they're all quiet.
It was very personal about what I'm saying. And I did not realize that you talked to Roxanne Price.
Yes. She was across the room and I looked at her.
Yeah.
Because like, do I talk about this?
So, basically, I can't remember exactly, but you brought up something about the past.
Yes. It was about Ava becoming pregnant.
Roxanne becoming pregnant. And so I remember in that meeting, I started getting ticked. Because I did not know
that
you okayed it.
Yeah.
And so when you guys had to leave early for some reason, remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
And I told the group after, I go, look, I'm going to deal with this because Daniel just threw Roxanne in his butt. And so we prayed about it and stuff like that. And that's when I called. I called you.
I called Roxanne
and said, hey, how are you doing? And then you told me it was okay. And I just... I'm just going to yell at the whole group.
I looked at her. She nodded her head. Okay, here we go.
On the podcast, and we could see you nodding.
So that, I think that's when we opened up. I felt like we got kind of closer to that.
Yeah, definitely.
And then that Sunday, people were like, hey, give me hugs. And I'm like, oh, okay.
So you're preaching the first sermon in a few weeks.
Oh, my second sermon.
Second sermon.
Yeah. I preached on Christmas Eve. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so it's in a couple of weeks. What's
it's
the date?
April 23rd.
Okay, April 23rd. So it's about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
And you know, if you want, well, I'm going to be the man here. If you want to hear Daniel preach at the Rose City Church, it's 10 o'clock on what day?
April 23rd.
April 23rd.
Yes.
So Daniel, I've heard him preach. He preaches from his heart. And as you listen to this podcast and you see the whole story. And then realize it's a miracle that he's standing up here preaching. And Roxanne is one of the biggest encouragers on the planet for you. So let's wind it down. Okay. If you know somebody that's going through some difficulties, like marital difficulties or stuff like this, and you just go, okay, what advice would you give? All the stuff you've got gone through, what advice would you give to other people?
Don't get married.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. Everything is a gift from God. Use it wisely.
Just kidding.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I got some wise
words. Okay, you got some wise words.
This pastor I knew over from the West Side, Marina.
Okay, Marina. Yeah, that white dude.
That white guy.
Okay.
During our counseling, he told me, and it stuck with me. He said, you asked me if I believed that God wanted Daniel and I to be married. If I truly believed that this is what God wanted. And I had to answer that. And that's what I think that's what I have to answer every time. I get so upset. And that's what I have to fall into. Do I believe that God wants Daniel and I to continue in this marriage. And that's what's really helped me
right.
past 5 years, is not really putting my trust or my hopes in him.
Right.
But it's got to be in God. I have to go back and know that God put this man for me.
Right.
And me for him.
Okay.
And then that's what I live by.
So do you want to answer a serious question?
No, I think my perspective on us changed after the marriage counseling and all the stuff that was going on. I realized that she has always had my best interest.
Right.
She is my 100% best supporter.
Right.
She's my biggest cheerleader.
Yeah.
And I don't think highly of myself. I don't think I can preach. I don't think I still tell her to this day, I don't think I'm gonna be a pastor. I'll probably be a minister. I'll probably preach a couple times, but I don't think I'm a pastor here. But she said she is like 100% behind me, and that for a person who doesn't really think highly of himself, that's
But don't you think it would be nice if you believed in yourself just as much as she believes in you?
I would.
And then almost think of this. If you believed in yourself, half is what God believes in you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Because there's huge potential in ministry. Huge potential. So what I see is that there's no destination with you guys. You're still on a journey. You're still on a journey of forgiveness. You're still on a journey of restoration. You're still on a journey trying to figure this marriage out and being the parents to two wonderful children as well. All right. I think anything else? Hold on close.
Thank you for being our pastor and getting us married.
Yeah.
Thank you for the healing.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Thank you for leaving.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for listening to the podcast. Remember that join us next week for another podcast. And if you want to join us on Marine Christian Fellowship Church at 10 o'clock every Sunday, we combine all three services into one. We're almost on the way to Easter. And also, we can, if you want to join Willow City Church, you can join at 10 o'clock as well in Pasadena. Just look up the webpage there on Facebook as well. Remember, every day is a gift from God. Use it wisely. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Bye bye.
Cool.
That was good.
That was good.
Okay.
That was good. You cried a little bit.
I did. I didn't yell at you.